Hello and welcome to Torah Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Alana Glatt, and today we will be studying Sefer Shmuel Aleph Perek Chaf Bet, Chapter 22. In our learning of Perek Chaf Aleph yesterday, we followed David on the first fragile steps of his flight from Shaul, where he arrived alone to the city of Nov, and out of great desperation, asked Achimelech the Kohen Gadol for both food and a sword to take along with him. David told Achimelech he was on a sudden and secret mission on Shaul's behalf, explaining why he had nobody accompanying him, nor any provisions with him for this complex journey. Unfortunately, the secret dialogue between David and Achimelech took place under the watchful eye of Doeg HaAdomi, one of Shaul's main advisors and the head of the Sanhedrin, an important detail that will set the stage for the looming tragedy that we will tragically watch unfold today. Following the short stop in Nov, and with nowhere to run or hide, David then fled to enemy territory, hoping he could buy some time riding beneath the radar in the Plishti land. But his plans didn't quite succeed the way he had hoped, when he was immediately recognized as the courageous war hero that he was. Through feigning madness and with a tremendous dose of divine intervention, David narrowly managed to escape this harrowing ordeal. As we enter Perek Chaf Bet today, we'll now begin to watch as the consequences of some of these actions will begin to unfold. Pasuk Aleph opens up, Vayilech David misham, vayimalit al me'arat adulam, vayishme'u echa v'chobet aviv, vayirdu elav shama. David went on from there, after narrowly escaping from his close call with Achish and the Plishti officers, and he escaped to the cave of Adulam, a cave which was in the land of Shevet Yehuda and was close to the border. His brothers and all his father's house heard about this, and they went down to him there to join him. Although they knew that joining David was extremely risky, the Chida suggests that they had heard of all the miracles that David had experienced in his time in Plishti land, and they hoped that Hashem would continue his special protection over David and watch over all of them together now. The Malbim notes that they were actually extremely afraid that King Shaul would punish them for being supporters of his purported enemy, David. And so they joined David, fearing they had no better choice. Now hiding in this deep cave of Adulam, David wasn't only joined by his immediate family. Rather, Pasuk Bet tells us, Vayikabtsu elav kol ish matzok v'chol ish asher lo nose v'chol ish mar nefesh, Vayhi aleihem lisar, vayhi imo ka'arba'a me'ot ish. Everyone who was in distress, every man with a creditor, and every man embittered of spirit, now gathered and clung to David, and he became their leader. With him were about 400 men. The Mefarshim explain that each of these men carried their own form of pain, some with inner emotional anguish, some weighed down by external pressures and debts, and others filled with anger. All of them were drawn almost instinctively to the battlefield where David now found himself. It's striking that the Navi pauses to highlight who these people were, because it reminds us that people are drawn to those who truly understand them. And perhaps that's exactly what we see here. David, himself on the run and living in deep uncertainty, becomes a magnet for those who felt like outsiders, creating connection, not through judgment, but through shared struggle and sensitivity. Pasuk Gimel, with this new posse now alongside him, David moved from the cave of Adulam to the Mitzpah of Moab. At this fortress, which was along the border of Moab and up on a higher ground, David and his men would now have an easier time looking out for enemies and defending themselves. However, David knew that this location was dangerous and risky, and he became worried for his elderly parents who were with him. This dangerous life on the run was not suited for them. So David approached the king of Moab, reasoning to himself that they were relatives of his after all, as his father descended from Rus, a Moabi woman. And he asked him, "Please allow for my parents and my brothers to stay here with you until I know what Hashem has planned for me." Now Pasuk Dalet, "Vayanchim et pnei melech Moab, vayeshvu imo kol yimei hayot David b'mitzuda." David escorted them to the king of Moab, and they stayed with him all of the days that David was in the fortress nearby. David truly thought he was acting in his parents' and brothers' best interests by placing them in a safer place with the king of Moab, rather than having them stay with him and his men on their dangerous and unpredictable journey. But unfortunately, Rashi quotes an extremely difficult Medrash Tanhuma here. that unbeknownst to David, the king of Moab only took care of David's family as long as David was nearby. However, once David left from there and went to the forest of Cheres, the next leg of his unknown journey, despicably, the king of Moab actually turned on David and killed his mother, his father, and all of his brothers, except for one, who managed to escape to Nachash, the king of Ammon, and somehow culled favor in his eyes and survived. Although David acted altruistically here and out of deep desire to honor his parents properly, Chazal teach that he shouldn't have placed his trust in the king of Moab, which unfortunately ended tragically here. But sadly, this is not the only tragedy which will unfold in today's perek. Pasuk Hei continues on our narrative for today. Gad Hanavi, an accomplished student of Shmuel Hanavi, who we're introduced to for the first time here, is now the Navi who is going to take a leading role in David HaMelech's life. And so Gad Hanavi came to David and he told him, "Do not stay in this fortress where you are now. It is no longer safe for you to remain here. Go and get yourself to the land of Yehuda immediately." So David listened immediately, and he went and arrived at the forest of Chares. But now, traveling with 400 men along with him, instead of traveling all alone, David was not as successful at escaping inconspicuously this time, and word soon spread to King Shaul that David, now bolstered with a posse of 400 men, was hiding in the forests of Yehuda. Pesukim Vav through Chet highlight Shaul's deep fear of and disdain of David in his dark state here, with his spear in hand, and he appeals to his servants for them to remain loyal to him and to him alone. The Radak points out here that upon hearing that David had 400 men accompanying him, Shaul now began to conjure up an image that David was pulling together an army to stand against Shaul and to rebel once and for all in an attempt to seize the throne. Although this wasn't truly based on the reality at hand, in Shaul's mind, this rebellion was as clear as day, and therefore, as the acting king, Shaul truly felt that David and his men were guilty of being Morad B'Malchus, rebelling against the king, and that they certainly deserved to be punished for these rebellious actions. A quiet reminder to us that sometimes we become so convinced of our own narratives that we fit everything around us into it, even when a completely different truth is right in front of us. We're just not always able to see it. And then Shaul became extremely agitated at his servants for not letting him in on this important news of this potential rebellion against him. Perhaps they were also involved in this and were beginning to side with David over him, just like they had failed to tell him about his own son Yonatan's betrayal. Shaul was extremely agitated here. All of Shaul's servants remained quiet. There was nothing to respond in face of these unrealistic accusations of Shaul's, all except for one. Doeg HaAdomi took in the scene around him and decided to use the opportunity to mislead King Shaul even further and to cull more favor to himself as the supplier of the juicy gossip he was about to share. Pasuk Tet, Vaya'an Doeg HaAdomi v'hu nitzav alav de Shaul v'yomer ra'iti et ben Yishai ba nove el achim melech menachituv. Then Doeg HaAdomi, who was appointed over Shaul's servants, spoke up and said, "I saw the son of Yishai," the disdainful way both he and Shaul often referred to David. "I saw him come to the city of Nov to Achimelech, the son of Achituv." Pasuk Yod, "Vayish'al lo b'Hashem, v'tzeda natan lo, v'et cherev Golias haplishti natan lo." He inquired of Hashem for him, and he gave him provisions to take, and he gave him the sword of Golias the Plishti. The Malbim explains here that although Doeg's words were technically true, he twisted the entire story of David's arrival in Nov to make it seem like Achimelech was part of a rebellion against Shaul. The selected facts that he shared may have been true, but Doeg, of course, didn't share the larger context or mention that Achimelech himself was extremely startled to see David coming to the Mishkan alone, and that he only gave these provisions once David said he was on a secret mission on Shaul's behalf. And in his remarks, he also implied to Shaul that David purposely went straight to Achimelech's home, providing the imagery that they were colluding here in secret against the king, when in reality, David came to the Mishkan and found Achimelech there while in his state of starvation and desperation. Doeg also made it seem like Achimelech proactively gave over to David all of these things, failing to mention that David, who claimed he was acting on Shaul's very own behalf, actually requested these very things from him first, and therefore he handed them over. Overall, Doeg's entire report was entirely misconstrued in order to make it sound as though Ahimelech's intentions here were to support David in this rebellion of King Shaul. Truly, Lashon Hara at its worst. These words upset Shaul very, very much. And so, in Psukim Yud Aleph through Tet Zayin, Shaul has Ahimelech and all of his Kohanim summoned before him immediately. Shaul says to him, "Listen now, son of Achituv." Shaul purposely doesn't use his name in a derogatory way, like when he refers to David as Ben Yishai for the same reason. The Mavim also notes that he wanted to include his father's name here, to include him as part of the suspected rebellion. Unaware as to why he was being called, Ahimelech responded, "Hineni Adoni, here I am, my master, here I am, my lord." So Shaul says to Ahimelech, "Lama kishartem alai, atao ben Yishai, v'titcha lo lechem v'cherev, v'sha'ol lo v'alokim, lakum elai le'orev k'yom hazeh." How could you have conspired against me? You and the son of Yishai, you gave him food and a sword and inquired of God for him, so that he could rise in ambush against me, as is now the case. More than the food and sword, what deeply bothered Shaul here, according to Rashi, was the fact that Ahimelech asked the Urim V'Tumim a question on David's behalf. Shaul felt that should have been reserved for the king and the king alone, not for a commoner like David. According to the Midrashim, Doeg actually purposely overemphasized this very point to Shaul in order to arouse his deep suspicion that Ahimelech indeed viewed David as the next king and not him. While in reality, the Urim V'Tumim was allowed to be asked for a community leader acting on behalf of Klal Yisrael. Shocked and completely taken back by this completely false charge, Ahimelech now responds, "Vaya'an Ahimelech et ha-melech, vayomer, umi v'chol avadecha k'david, ne'eman, v'chatan ha-melech, v'sar el mishmat, mishmatecha, v'nichbad b'beitecha. But who among all of your servants is more loyal and trustworthy than David? He is the king's son. He obeys your bidding, and he is honored in your household. Hayom hachiloti lish'olo ba'alokim chalila li al yasim ha'melech ba'avdo davar b'chol beit avi ki lo yada avdecha b'chol zot davar katono gadol. And furthermore, did I begin today to inquire for him of Hashem?" According to Rashi, Ahimelech was asking in astonishment, "Isn't it already a long time that David has been a communal figure for whom I've inquired of Hashem on his behalf? This isn't something new. I would never, ever betray the king. Please let the king not accuse his servant or my father's entire household of anything, for your servant did not know anything small or great about all of this." But unfortunately, his pleas fell on deaf ears. Shaul was unmoved by his pleas, certain that things were as he had understood them, that each of Ahimelech's actions were indeed treason and not as Ahimelech was presenting them. And in an extremely sad and heavy moment in our Sefer, Shaul says, "Mota mut Ahimelech ata v'chol beit avicha." You must die, Ahimelech, you and all of your father's house. Although misguided in this particular circumstance, Shaul as the king was allowed to impose the death penalty in order to put down a rebellion against him. So in Pasuk Yud Zayin, Shaul turns to his footmen who stood about him, who Rashi notes here were Avner and Amasa, his two main generals. And he tells them, "Surround and kill the Kohanim of Hashem, because their hand is also with David, and because they knew that he was fleeing and did not inform me of this." But Shaul's servants were not willing to send forth their hands to slay the Kohanim of Hashem. Seeing that his servants were steadfast and unwilling to carry out his command, Shaul now turned to Doeg HaAdomi himself, the advisor who had informed him of all of this in the first place, and he said to him in Pasuk Yudche, "Sovata upga bakohanim, vayisov Doeg," which is spelled Doeg HaAdomi, "vayifgahu bakohanim, vayamet bayom hahu, shmonim v'chamisha ish, nosei eifod bad." "You, Doeg, go circle around and slay the Kohanim." If you read the Pasuk inside, you'll notice that Doeg's name is spelled with a Yud in place of an Aleph here. Rashi, citing Chazal, notes that his name was purposely spelled like this here, As Shaul said to him, "You are caught like a fish, a dog. You informed on them, so now you go and slay them." So Doeg HaAdomi carried out this mission of the king. He circled around and he tragically killed the Kohanim. On that very day, he killed 85 men, wearers of linen robes. And in Pasuk Yotet, Doeg continued on his disheartening campaign, killing the entire city of Nov, the city of Kohanim, by sword. Men and women alike, child and suckling alike, ox and donkey and sheep. The Malbim notes that Shaul decided to teach a strong message here to the rest of Klal Yisrael, not to help or strengthen David in the future. Sadly, the words of Chazal and Kohelet Rabbah ring truer than ever at this precise moment. Kol mi shenasa rachman bimkom achzari, sof shenasa achzari bimkom rachman. Anyone who becomes compassionate when cruelty is required will ultimately become cruel when compassion is required. Shaul, who himself had a difficult time striking down the Amalekim when it was commanded of him directly by Hashem himself, ended up striking down the entire city of Nov here. And our final psukim for today, psukim Chaf through Chaf Gimel, tell us that although the entire city of Nov was tragically murdered, there was one son of Achimelech named Abiatar who managed to escape the carnage, and he fled directly to catch up with David and his men. And when he reached David, Abiatar told him about how Shaul had massacred the entire city of Nov, and David immediately took full blame. Yadati bayom ahu ki sham doeg haadomi ki haged yagid l'Shaul anochi saboti b'chol nefesh beit avicha. David said to Abiatar, "I knew on that day that Doeg HaAdomi was there and that he would certainly inform Shaul. I am responsible for every life of your father's house." Although of everyone involved in this tragedy, David was only tangentially and accidentally involved. David was extremely humble and he took immediate blame, looking inward and taking full responsibility for his misdeeds, his misactions that could have possibly caused such a tragedy to unfold in the first place. This comes as a strong contrast to other characters who we've read about in our Sefer, who even upon being reprimanded directly for inactions, had a more difficult time looking inwardly and taking responsibility. Our parak ends off for today that David took Abiatar in and under his wings with open arms, telling him that he will be safe with him and he'll do whatever he can to protect him as they both are now in the same precarious position. With that, our difficult parak comes to an end for today. Although this story is truly incomprehensible to grasp and fully process, I want to leave off with just a few closing points for our learning for today. The first is that despite the story ending off in an incomprehensible tragedy, one which we will never fully be able to comprehend or fully understand, our rabbis teach that the Kohanim of Nov were in fact descendants of Eli HaKohen, the Kohen Gadol we learned about together earlier in our Sefer. And as such, although we won't be able to fully understand, as only Hashem has his reasons for allowing this tragedy to occur, it was in some capacity a fulfillment of the curse that Hashem had placed upon Eli and his entire household as a punishment for their earlier misdoings. Nonetheless, although divinely mandated, all of those who were involved, even tangentially, will be held accountable for carrying out this divine mission, each according to his own involvement, as it is never an individual's job to choose to carry out such tragic missions on his own accord. Doeg HaAdomi will eternally lose his Olam Haba for his direct involvement in this tragedy. Shaul and Yonatan will later die by the hands of the Plishtim. Yonatan for failing to send David off with bread, and Shaul for having believed Doeg's Lashon Hara and allowing this to be carried out. Though it is extremely important to note that both Shaul and Yonatan are not held accountable directly for this sin, and that their deaths will later serve as a full kapara, and they will both eternally earn a high place and reward in Olam Haba. And lastly, David HaMelech's family will later suffer greatly by the hands of the evil Queen Atalia because of his also slight and indirect involvement here in the massacre of the city of Nov. And one final point to close with for today, though there's still so much more here to unpack, is the pernicious and dangerous nature of the sin of Lashon Hara. After learning of such a tragic story that all revolved around a good piece of gossip, We would all be better off to recommit ourselves to guarding our words, working hard to ensure that we use our mouths and words to build worlds and not chas v'shalom, the opposite. Thank you so much for learning this intense parak together. Today's parak is dedicated to the safety and peace of Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. May the words of Nach uplift us and give us strength during these challenging times.